in Exodus chapter 28, please. Thank you. Now, to my own shame, I did not know the meeting was to close at 15:15 this morning. I apologize to you all. And I suppose that's why they didn't come back this afternoon. But anyway, we're thankful for you who came. Exodus chapter 28, and I hope to try and finish the high priest's garments at this time. Verse 9, and thou shalt take 2 onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel. 6 of their names on one stone, and the other 6 names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the 2 stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the 2 stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his 2 shoulders for a memorial. And thou shalt make ouches of gold and 2 chains of pure gold at the ends of wreathen work. Shalt thou make them, and fasten the wreathen chains to the ouches. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work, or that is, the work of a cunning workman. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twine linen shalt thou make it. 4 square it shall be, being doubled, folded in half, it would be 4 square. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even 4 rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis. Now, never forget that the Hebrews always read from left to right, so that this reading of these stones is left to right and up and down, rather than the way we read from right to left. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, or a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of the wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate 2 rings of gold, and shalt put the 2 rings on the 2 ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the 2 wreathen chains of gold in the 2 rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other 2 ends of the 2 wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the 2 ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make 2 rings of gold, and shalt put them upon the 2 ends of the breastplate in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And 2 other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shalt put them on the 2 sides of the ephod underneath, toward the fore part thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment, because it is a folded piece, there is like a pouch Thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Now God graciously will bless the reading of this passage. Now in coming to the close of the garments of the high priest, we come to the most beautiful part. It very distinctly is concerned with the breastplate, a four square piece upon the chest of Aaron, upon the robe that was blue. And as we notice, it had golden chains upon it that would go this way, golden chains that went this way, and a lace of blue also that went from the corner and tied itself to the ephod or the girdle of the high priest. And in this pouch were these two stones, the Urim and the Thummim, a most interesting study. Upon the breastplate there were 12 stones, and then upon the shoulder epaulets there were two stones. Both of these were onyx on the shoulders, and as we have read, the others were precious stones. Now, interestingly, and we will come to it with order, but I want you to have it in mind and think about it as we move along. The names of Israel engraved upon the epaulet stones, the two onyx stones, were according to birth. They commenced with Reuben and ended with Benjamin. The names upon the breastplate were in the order in which the tribes surrounded the tabernacle. Now, that's a different order. And of course, there are two things that they will teach us, the names of birth and the names of order in their devotion to the presence of God. Now, I want to notice with you, first of all, the idea of the shoulder plates and their position. The first thing, of course, we notice is that they were upon the shoulders. Looking again at the Lord Jesus, brethren, let us never forget, it is not the garments that our Lord wears today, because he wears garments of glory. Garments that are radiant. His holy divine person is covered with radiant light. Light that no man can approach unto. A man who is clothed with the radiance of unsullied glory in the presence of the Father. It's absolutely astounding to ponder what the Bible teaches regarding the present radiant glory of the Lord Jesus. We would do well to think upon it. It not only will thrill you to realize that the man with the wounded hands and feet and side has been honored with such glory, but it will also give you much joy to ponder that you are going to be his complement for all eternity. It's thrilling to me, brethren, to think, when I know myself, I know myself better than you know me. And the Lord knows me better than I know myself. And it is thrilling to my heart to realize that the Lord Jesus will not be complete in heaven without me and without you. Don't let the devil put you on the floor. Just remember how much you mean to the Lord Jesus, not only to him in his heart, but in his glory. So we have both things in this passage. The names of the children of Israel upon that breastplate and upon those two onyx stones were upheld by Aaron. He gave them standing, but they gave him honor. They gave him glory. Without their names upon those stones, Aaron would have been lacking in the garments of glory and beauty. So it is in heaven. May God be pleased to reach our heart and help us to appreciate the glory and the place that we have in relationship to that glory. The shoulder epaulets then and the two stones of onyx. Very interestingly, the idea of the onyx stone, the name itself, I think I wrote that down here because I wanted to mention it. I was looking it up again. The onyx stones. Oh, yes. It's a name, a Hebrew name, that means the flashing forth of a fire. That's the meaning of the name onyx, O-N-Y-X. We would look upon it as being a black stone. That is, from a natural viewpoint, it was black. And engraved upon those two stones were all the names of the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes, except, of course, Joseph and Levi. The names of Joseph and Levi were supplemented with the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. They became the two tribes to complete the 12. And I think that you understand the reason that Joseph and Levi are not included, so I will not go into that. But the place that they are found in relation to their birth is upon his shoulders. Now let us never forget, my dear brethren and sisters, that the security of our link in relationship with the Lord Jesus depends upon the strength of his ability to maintain himself before the Father. Now, he has no problem doing that. There's no thought whatsoever. The epistle to the Hebrews would put away every thought that our high priest will ever cease to function in all the fullness of his ability and his own strength, his own inherent glory. And therefore, as long as our high priest liveth, we have a place of acceptance and strength. We are upheld in the presence of God. Now, this is not physical strength. It isn't the idea that we are upheld so we will not fail, because we do fail. It isn't a question of being upheld so we will not become discouraged, for we do get discouraged, all of us. But brethren, it's being upheld in the presence of divine holiness. You and I have nothing to uphold ourselves in the presence of holiness. Nothing. But in the Lord Jesus, we're upon his shoulders. And the idea of being on his shoulders, I think, is best expressed in two pictures that we have in the scriptures. The government shall be upon his shoulder. One shoulder, I understand, singular. But the point is that the Lord Jesus will fitly, righteously sustain true government for God. No one else can ever do it. It's his fitness. His fitness to fulfill divine purposes in government. So the government is upon his shoulders. But then I turn to Luke 15 and I see a sheep, a lost, crippled sheep. And it can't walk because of its disobedience and its wanderings. The shepherd, when he finds it, he places it upon his shoulders and he bringeth it home. Now there the shoulders teach us the tenderness of the shepherd, his ability to do for the sheep what it cannot do for itself. Now you put those two together and we have an understanding of what the shoulders of the high priest mean. He's shepherd in character, the tenderness of those shoulders. They uphold us, brethren, because he loves us. He found us. He placed us on his shoulders. That's the loving grasp and the tenderness of the shepherd. And those shoulders, brethren, our names are written upon his shoulders. That means very simply that we are always in the fullness of all the strength of his glorious person as our shepherd. And as the governments are upon his shoulders, so also are we securely in the presence of God. Absolutely every need we could ever have spiritually and eternally is completely met and fulfilled by the Lord Jesus. Because he is capable of carrying government, he is certainly capable of carrying me. What a wonderful high priest. I'm glad that I look at these epaulets today and remind my heart that I am upon the shoulders of the Lord Jesus. There's one other thing I want to mention, and it's the permanence of those names. I can remember one time in school, we made a science show thing, you know how children do that. And it was ours to do some engraving on a piece of stone, on a piece of granite they gave us, you know. And we were going to do some engraving on that granite. That was our show. Well, I want to tell you, we scratched and we scratched and we scratched and we chiseled. And boys, I want to tell you, it was a mess when we were done. It wasn't worth showing, but we had to show it. Because that's what we did. That was our work. We didn't write it with paint, with ink. We engraved it. We chiseled. We scratched. And there wasn't a, you couldn't tell what it was supposed to be even. We were putting the name of the school on the granite stone, you know. And oh, of course, you know, when we were doing it, we thought, boy, this is going to be great. It's going down history because, you know, they're going to put this stone, they're going to cement it in the wall somewhere. And it's going to show the name of the school. How wonderful. You couldn't even read the thing. But my dear brethren, what we have here is engraven as a signet. It was art. Those names were not scratched into that onyx stone. Those names were very artfully, very carefully, very cunningly put into that stone. There was a beauty connected with it. Furthermore, there was the art of skill is connected with it. And my brother, that's the permanence of those names in that onyx stone. Let us never forget, and I say this for your encouragement, the devil likes to poke at God's people, you know. I know it. He pokes at me, you rascal. I'd like to choke him. I would. But I'll never get the chance to do it till I'm home in heaven, probably. But nevertheless, the old boy keeps at the Lord's people. And he discourages them. He gives them a poke every time he can. He likes to show us our weaknesses. Yes. And he likes to make us think that God doesn't answer prayer. And he'd like to make us think that God doesn't care anymore. You know how that goes. He's all the time poking at you. But these names engraven on these stones, on these epaulets, upon the shoulders of our great high priest, they remind me, no matter what the devil taunts me with, no matter how discouraged I may be, there's one thing that remains constant: my acceptance in the presence of God. That remains absolutely constant. It doesn't depend on what the devil sees as failure and fault in me. And it doesn't depend on what I think about myself, whether it be good, exaggerated, or bad, exaggerated. It doesn't depend on that. Absolutely constant. With all the skillfulness and the beauty, thus giving pleasure to God, God finds pleasure in knowing that I am in Christ. And that you're in Christ, no matter what the devil may say about you. I trust that will encourage you today. The second thing I want to notice is the breastplate. Of course, I'm hurrying over a lot of detail here, but I want to mention this in passing. I should interject this at this point, that there is a sevenfold security of the breastplate to the ephod and to the high priest that is worth noting. A sevenfold security. Now, the sevenfold means perfect. That's the idea of being absolutely complete. Six is man's number. One more than six is more than man can do. It's the perfection of what God does. When you come to eight, of course, you have a new beginning. So seven is the complete number. Eight, the new beginning. So the seven gives us the understanding of a complete security. Let me just mention them to you, and then I will pass on quickly to the breastplate. First of all, the engraving. Secondly, the girdle, verse 27, which is the security of the breastplate. Thirdly, it's the chains that are mentioned three times. And then the rings, these different rings of gold that are made. And then, of course, there's the settings, the ouches of gold, and the settings of gold. That's the little fingers that would hold onto the stones. Then there's the blue lace. And finally, as I mentioned already, the ouches. Now, the ouches were more the settings that clung to the breastplate, not clung to the stone. The ouches were the manner in which they were secured to the breastplate. And then there were the little fingers, like in a lady's ring, where the stone sits in, those little fingers, little palms, they hold onto the stone. So there are seven distinct manners in which the Lord made sure that those precious stones were securely fastened to the ephod. What's the ephod? That tells us, doesn't it, as we noticed last week, of the character of the man who bears us into the presence of God. A heavenly man in all the absolute glory of being heavenly in his person. Essentially heavenly. Not something he attained. Not something which was given to him. But what he is essentially. A heavenly man. And you and I, brethren, are absolutely secure to the Lord Jesus Christ. He represents us before the Father today in all the security that we have in these seven tokens that are mentioned relative to the breastplate. Now, the first thing to notice about the breastplate is its size. And I challenge you to understand, to find out for me the size of the breastplate. I know it's 4 square, but I don't know how many inches it is. But the size is not the importance. The size that's mentioned is being 4 square. Now, there are 4 things in the tabernacle that are 4 square. I ask you to find the other 3 and enjoy them. Let me just mention one of them, which will be a help to you, and that's the little golden altar that stood before the veil, just before the priest would go into the most holy place, the little altar of incense. It was 4 square. Whenever you read of 4 square in relation to the tabernacle furniture or the breastplate of the high priest, what we're really thinking of is the fullness of grace. That is, it's absolutely equal. There is no corner to hide in, and there's no place to get lost from it. It's 4 square. The equality of the grace of God. And brethren, that's what we rest on. That's the idea behind the 4 square character of the breastplate. For all eternity, we rest on grace, brethren. It will never depend upon your fitness or your ability or your efforts or mine. It's all of grace and all the fullness that that grace provides. Now let us look at the stones in the 14 minutes that remain to us. Again, I mentioned the assignment of the names on the breastplate on these stones is relative to testimony. It's not relative to birth. Now let me combine those 2 things very quickly. Relationship has to do with the order of birth. That's on the shoulders. But on the order around the tabernacle has to do with devotion. Because each of the positions that the tribes held around that tabernacle, the 12 tribes with the priests in the front and the family of Aaron and the Levites, the 3 before and behind and on east and west and north and south sides of that tabernacle indicated their responsibility and their devotion to the presence of God in the midst. And my dear brethren and sisters here today, not only does the Lord Jesus and our Heavenly Father appreciate our relationship with Christ, but they appreciate our devotion to Christ. And devotion is the order of the stone. And isn't it interesting that the stone that held the names relative to relationship was the same stone for all? But the stones that have to do with devotion, that varies. And so it does amongst us as God's people. The preciousness of the stones, and you're going to notice that, because the first one that's mentioned is the most precious of the 12. The preciousness of the stones, the truth conveyed by the color, the character of the inwards of the stone itself, which is important in each of these, all those points tell out appreciation of devotion. My dear brother, may I say kindly, the more that you are devoted to the Lord Jesus, the brighter your stone will shine in his presence. That's what he's getting at. This has nothing to do with their security. Their security is on his shoulders. This has to do with their devotion. It's upon his heart. He bears them into the presence of God upon his heart. Is it not interesting and humbling to think that every time you get down upon your knees, just to take time to be alone with the Lord Jesus, that stone is shining. He appreciates that. And every time that you seek to put your hand to do a little something just for the Lord Jesus, not for your own glory, not to be seen or heard of men, but just to do it for Him, that stone shines. And every time, my dear brother, that you devotedly put yourself out for God's assembly, that stone shines. That's what's here in the order of the stones upon the breastplate. It's the order of devotion to God. Let us notice them. The sardis is a ruby, of course. And its name, you don't find this in Exodus 28. You would have to turn to Deuteronomy, of course, and Numbers to find the order of these names, Numbers in particular. But Judah was upon the first stone, the sardis. And, of course, Judah means praise. And the idea of the color of the ruby is the bloodstone color and the wine color. So that we have the idea of praise and the cross brought together. And Judah's name is placed upon that stone. Interestingly, Judah is the tribe that God brings into preeminence. Because from Judah sprang our blessed Lord. That's why God puts Judah in preeminence. And my dear brethren, where the Lord Jesus is in preeminence and praise is the fruit of your lips, that's the ruby stone. That's giving pleasure to God, that ruby stone, blood red, that wine-colored stone, as it glitters in the light of the lampstand inside that tabernacle. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus in heaven, and He presents you in your praise before the Father in all the fullness of a true ruby stone. Now, secondly, is the topaz. Issachar was upon the topaz. And it's a sunlight yellow stone, reminding us, of course, of the Sun of Righteousness. And very interestingly, you may mark this in your thoughts as you look prophetically at Israel. The inheritance of Issachar is where the last battle will be fought. And the Lord will come back to earth when He comes. In the inheritance of Issachar, the yellow stone, which reminds us of the Sun of Righteousness. When He will rise with healing in His wings. And so there's a reminder of the Lord Jesus as the coming one in the victory. Issachar means reward. And so the topaz, which speaks of the coming Lord and reward, are linked together here. And of course you can apply these yourself. I don't have to apply them all down the line. You're not dummies. You understand that the coming of the Lord and the reward are linked together. And men and women who live in the good of the coming Lord and His reward are shining like a yellow topaz. The name is inscribed upon them. I hope my name will appear upon a yellow stone for the Lord Jesus' sake. Zebulun is next. He's the carbuncle. A burning coal is the carbuncle. It's a fiery purple-red stone. And amazingly, it's called the gem of the poor. That's a very interesting thing. It reminds us of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, the poor man. And Zebulun is called the poor man's tribe. That's an interesting combination that the carbuncle and Zebulun should be together. So much like the Lord Jesus. Humility of spirit, poor of spirit. Our Lord was a true carbuncle as He shone before God. And so we also may be. Christ-likeness and humility of spirit is the carbuncle shining and bearing our name. Reuben is on the emerald. Now, as you know, an emerald is green, the color of grass. It's the rarest of all the gems because it is so very difficult to find a pure emerald without a flaw. The most expensive emeralds in our world, now I understand there is one in India, I think it is, if I remember correctly, I think it's in India. You correct me after, if you know better, I'd be happy to be corrected. But there is one they claim that does not have a flaw in it. But I'm absolutely satisfied that the emerald stone of Aaron's breastplate had no flaw. Because it speaks of the Lord Jesus. And it speaks of the devotion of God's people as Christ presents them before the Father. Reuben, whose name means a son, the rarest of all gems. And I would take it to be likeness to the Lord Jesus, who was the perfect man, the only emerald that had no flaw. Simeon is the name upon the sapphire. Simeon means hearing, listening, hearing, understanding, hearing. That's Simeon. The sapphire, of course, is a velvety blue stone. It's a very, very rare stone. But interestingly, in Exodus 24, we are reminded that it is the stone under the feet of God. That gives us to see the heavenly character that's here. And this is when a believer seeks to live in heavenly character. You know, brethren, it is not a natural thing to be heavenly. It's not natural. You are not gracious naturally. Neither am I. You may be kind, you may be gentle, and you may be gracious in the sense that we think of Maya, that's being very gracious of him, condescending. But grace is spiritual. It's not natural. And if anything of the grace of God is cultivated in you or cultivated in me, that's this stone, the sapphire, this velvety blue stone. And don't ever forget, it doesn't come naturally. It must be cultivated by the Spirit. So, my dear brethren, in your exercise before God, as you stand sour and you act graciously, that's the sapphire. That's a fruit of the Spirit that's cultivated in your life and in mine. May God give us grace to be gracious, for we need it. And brethren, you need grace in God's assembly. Now, don't take me wrong on that. I don't mean to say everybody's a crank. Of course, there are some cranks around, you know, but you just take it where it comes from, keep on going anyway. But the point is, it takes grace to be spiritual. It takes grace to cultivate likeness to the Lord Jesus, that velvety blue that's under the feet of God. It's the very basic of his character and of his judgment. I've got six more to go here. The next one is the diamond. That's Gad. The name of Gad is upon the diamond. Gad means a troop. Behold the troop. And of course the diamond is that which is the rock of ages in the scriptures. And it is so often used for breaking other stones. And therefore it represents our Lord Jesus. And it represents the tenacity and the constancy of a true Christian conviction in your life. That's what gives you strength to remain true. It's that which comes from the throne of God, Revelation chapter 5. Ligure is next, which was a purple stone. It's the name upon it is Ephraim, which means fruitful. And it is a combination, of course, purple is a combination of red and orange and blue in the light. But it speaks of majesty. It's the color that portrays majesty. And here, of course, we have the idea of that likeness to the Lord Jesus in the majesty of godliness. Our blessed Lord moved through a scene in which there was no godliness. Israel was in a desperate condition, and there moved one man with the majesty of godliness. Uncompromised, from first to last. What dignity must have been about the bearing, the words, the attitude of the Lord Jesus. Absolutely marvelous, the majesty of his person. May God graciously exercise us to be more like himself. The agate, Manasseh's name is upon the agate, which is a stone that's even stronger than steel. It has many forms and colors within itself. It's an interesting stone that way. I saw one in a museum on one occasion as I was checking some of these things out, and it is very interesting. If you look at it one way in the light, you'd swear you saw castles inside of it. And then you turn it over and look at it the other way, and you'd think it was waves in the sea. And then you turn it again up end or something like that, and you swear you saw stars sparkling inside it. A very interesting stone. It tells, of course, of the beauties, the varied beauties of our blessed Lord in the graces of the harmony of those graces in his person. The amethyst, Benjamin's name is upon the amethyst. It's a violet-colored stone, and it's called the gem of the soldier. And so we see the soldier-like character of 1 Timothy chapter 2, or 2 Timothy chapter 2, of the believer as he seeks to stand for the Lord Jesus and be soldier-like in his obedience and devotion. The chrysolite, Dan's name is upon it. His name means judge. It's a gold stone, like the beryl. The sardonyx, Asher's name is upon it. Asher means happy. And the color of it is the color of flesh and blood mingled. It is a very pinky, yet there's streaks of red through it. That's the amethyst, or the sardonyx, rather, that we have with Asher. Finally, we have the jasper stone. Naphtali's name is upon the jasper. It's diamond-like, it's clear as crystal, and it speaks of the sovereignty of the crystal, the clearness, the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus. And these stones upon the breast of dear Aaron, he bore them into the presence of God. I like that. Ah, dear brethren, if we could only get into our soul, that devotion to the Lord Jesus is the very secret. It's basic to the value of anything that we do for God. You see, Moses and Israel, they worked for God by the compulsion of legalism. Now, we're not under legalism today, don't misunderstand me. But we sometimes are under compulsion. We're under the compulsion, perhaps, of pride. Pride is a very compulsory thing, you know, it's very, very compulsive in its manner. You wouldn't change because someone might see the change. You're too proud. So am I. Sometimes we do things out of compulsion just because we feel we're afraid of the brethren. Sometimes we are made to do things that are other men's convictions. That's compulsion, see? You do it. And I'm going to give you a little illustration of that because I want to try and help the young. What I'm really aiming at is to show you the value of devotion. Now, when a person comes and makes application for baptism, or maybe to come into the assembly, let's take a woman. If she's an outsider, one of the truths that's going to be taught to her is her hair and a hat. Now, you ladies, I see you here with long hair and hats. Why do you have long hair? Why are you wearing a hat? For a covering? Why? Well, you say the Bible says so. Oh, I understand that. Anybody can see that. Just read 1 Corinthians 11 and see that. But why? Do you understand why? Well, a brethren told me when I got baptized that I should. That's good. And you obeyed them. Bless you. That's an excellent attitude. But I want to tell you there's a better attitude. It's good to have that attitude. But a better attitude is to understand why and devotedly do it for the Lord Jesus. And then I want to tell you, you won't change. That's the secret. You won't change. And brethren, our world is filled with change. And one of the reasons sometimes that there's change in the assembly is a lack of intelligence in divine. People don't know. And therefore, they change their mind. And they say, well, why do I have to? And the reason is they don't know. Now, I don't have time to tell you why. Aren't I a bad boy? Now, see, I should have taken time to tell you why. But let me point out to you, when you understand the will of God and you obey it out of devotion to the Lord Jesus, those stones shine. Oh, God, give us grace. The Urim and the Thummim, I don't have time to go into that. I won't touch it. Read it yourself. God, help me to understand it, because I don't understand much about it. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow gratefully to thank thee for the Lord Jesus today. We think of him in heaven with our names upon his shoulders and upon his breast. We would like to serve him. He is altogether worthy. We would give him the best of our hearts and the best of our lives. Yea, Lord, he doesn't want only the best. We know this. He just wants us. Oh, God, help us to give our heart to Christ day by day. We do pray, and the rest of us will follow. We ask thy blessing. Bless thy saints. Bless the assembly. Build it up, O God. Open mouths amongst our dear brethren. Open hearts increasingly, that we may serve the Lord Jesus devotedly. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.